Welcome to the Sunshine Economy, the future emerging, the technology industry in South Florida. I'm Tom Hudson. Thanks for listening. 2 years ago last month, Manny Medina, fresh off selling Terramark, where he was CEO, to Verizon for $1.4 billion, took to a stage in the treetop ballroom at Jungle Island and told the technology elite gathered there that, quote, Miami doesn't have tech, end quote. It really was quite the judgment coming from someone who was being honored that day as a technology trailblazer in South Florida. That spring day 2 years ago was also the first time Medina spoke publicly about his effort to bring the global technology industry right here to our shores. Today, it is a reality with the first Emerge America Summit underway at the Miami Beach Convention Center. Medina is the driving force behind the conference.
Think about, you know, from the Googles and the Facebooks and the IBMs and the HPs and Microsoft and just every potential company in technology is now participating together in Emerge America. Fierce competitors have come together in order for them to come together and tell the whole world, come to Miami because I'm going to talk to you about something innovative, right? Something that is really creative. So I think the spark has certainly been lit by just starting the dialogue. Now, Art Basel, as impactful as it is, and you know, we dream that it will be that it will obviously will have the success. If you think about it, only a sliver of the population collects art, which is all great, right? But the entire population is impacted by technology. The fact that Target had 40 million records stolen this year, that is in everybody's foremind. That's the 9/11 of cyber fraud. So all of this discourse and all of this exchange of ideas and latest technologies happening in Miami, hopefully will be just a lot more than just a spark.
You spoke a year ago on this program about industrial IT being these very location hardware intensive businesses moving to in the cloud, the virtualization space. What is the opportunity that Miami can provide the technology world?
So that entire transformation, Tom, from industrial to agile, or another way to put it is from hardware-based to software-based IT, is a multi-trillion dollar opportunity. And the same way that the Internet revolution was in the mid-90s, right, a very big transformation, and at that point, Miami almost became a little bit of a tech hub as well, but then it was kind of erased by 9/11, you know, the bubble burst, the telecommunications industry imploded. Now we have a gigantic opportunity, really also focus in Latin America. The fact that Latin America has this insatiable appetite for the transfer of these new technologies, and the fact that all these major companies, the IBMs and the Ciscos and the HPs of this world, need to transform themselves, and not because I say it, you can just see it, that they need to become more and more software-based versus hardware-based, that is a multi-trillion dollar opportunity where Miami can be the center of that opportunity as it relates to Latin America. And I think you can just see for yourself the implications. We had an economic impact study done of the effect of this. You're talking about tens of thousands of jobs. You're talking about potentially new redevelopment. You're talking about very high paying positions. And you're talking about diversifying our economy in a way where I believe nothing else can do it. So I believe the multiplier effect of this event and everything that is going around the community will be felt for many, many years to come.
Regarding the opportunity for Miami as its geography close to Latin America and the opportunity for established U.S. technology giants to expand within the opportunity they see in Latin America, I want to play you a comment that you made last year on this program regarding how you will measure success of your efforts to attract technology to Miami.
Finally, Manny, how will you know whether or not you succeed in your vision for technology in the industry here?
I don't think they say one day that you say, but how do we know that Art Basel succeeded? I mean, there's a lot of statistics. You're going to see a lot of people coming back here. You're going to see just, you know, you're going to see areas. You're going to see one. You know how we're going to really going to know? You're going to have a major move of a company that says, you know what? It makes sense for us to be here. And I don't mean opening the sales office representing Latin America. All of them, a lot of them have that. I mean,
somebody's going to say, we're going to put our headquarters here.
Manny, with that as your metric, do you feel you're closer to being able to judge success of IT and technology in South Florida?
Look, there's a lot that's happened already over the last year, and as you see for yourself today here in the Emerge Americas, Tom, this is a major, major accomplishment. Now, again, Rome wasn't built in a day, but I do believe that this is one major step moving forward. I think that a lot of things have also happened that we find extremely encouraging. For example, on the education front, the fact that we have every major university, FIU, University of Miami, Berry, St. Thomas, Nova, FAU, etc., all coming together, talking about these technology issues of the day and all thinking about their own curriculum, right? The fact that we've gone out to Silicon Valley for the first time and promoted Miami and say, hey, guys, you know, you don't have every answer to the to every question right here. Here's all this ecosystem that we're building down there. So I think that eventually that whole establishing of one major company coming down here, I think, will be a major milestone. So I think it's all coming together in a way that is actually happening a lot quicker than I even expected a year ago. And I hopefully, as these thousands of people converge here, a lot more will happen over the next year as we do Emerge Americas 2015, which we're already planning for. And that's really what it's all about, right? To create this whole idea, Miami technology. And it really starts with a state of mind. Right, that you begin thinking for the first time. So I think a lot has happened. I think a lot more will happen.
Do you think we're closer to attracting a major technology headquarters to be operated here, as well as the operational and strategic headquarters?
I think it's a little early for that. I mean, I don't want to make that prediction at this particular stage because first of all, these major headquarters are big moves, right, and takes time. I think we're a lot closer to attracting the dialogue, and we're a lot closer to attracting thousands and eventually tens of thousands of people that will be coming here to get their funding, to promote their business plans, to get educated, to have the foundation to learn how to do business in the U.S., etc. And that technology foundation eventually is what spurs a big company putting their headquarters here. So,
what would you like the community and the business community, especially outside of the technology industry, to take away from the Emerge Americas conference, but perhaps even larger, the efforts that you have spearheaded to bring and nurture technology here, some may argue at the expense of other industries that are more legacy-oriented industries and have a broader headcount, in other words, employ more people?
Right. Yeah, well, look, I think the incredible and the great thing about technology is that it affects every industry. So it cuts across every industry, right? So you cannot run any modern industry today when you're being totally inundated and really suffocated by this immense amount of data that the world is producing today. So when it comes to technology and healthcare, for example, I mean, healthcare is one of our biggest industries here. Now, technology is affecting healthcare more than just about any other industry. So I think that dialogue of technology and healthcare helps the healthcare industry. The same thing with media and entertainment. I mean, media and entertainment is being totally affected by the way the music business is being conducted. You know, the fact that Pitbull, Armando Christian Perez, has been such a great ambassador, he gets it. He understands. And if Miami can become the place where this technology for the entertainment industry is being resolved, then obviously it helps the entertainment industry, and so forth and so on, the financial industry. I mean, we've had overwhelming support from our banking industry. JP Morgan, Wells Fargo, Goldman, local banks, you name them, they all understand, as they themselves grapple with the issue of protecting their clientele, they grapple with the issue of how do I become more efficient, in providing better services, how do I get this profile and big data of my customer base, they're getting it. So the interesting thing about technology is that we're not doing it at the expense of any other traditional industry. We're doing it, and it complements and it helps every industry become more efficient in the 21st century.
I want to ask you about the demand for technology in Latin America. The Brazilian economy has slowed down. The Argentinian economy remains troubled with a very high inflation. Venezuela, obviously, is undergoing significant political challenges, and the economy there remains really hollowed out. Has that impacted your efforts to bring technology to Miami, trying to focus U.S. technology giants on Latin America through a Miami lens?
Yeah, there's a real misconception here, because what happens is that Latin America is one of the largest emerging markets that acquires IT, right? They're almost $400 billion next year. And that's a very juicy sum for the IBMs of this world and for the HPs and the Ciscos of this world. So what we've learned is that there's an immense appetite as the traditional markets of North America and Europe have slowed down for these giants, and as they need to transform their own business models to be more of a software and services based versus hardware selling boxes, Latin America is a very juicy market for them. Something else that has also happened, given that Latin America doesn't have the immense amount of legacy that the traditional markets have, they can start fresher and newer without having to rip away. If we were talking 5 years ago, 10 years ago, if we're going to be talking 5 or 10 years from now, there's always going to be countries within Latin America that have problems. But that does not change the fact that this shift to software-based or to agile IT makes you more efficient. So you actually end up saving money, right? So it's a very, very opportune time. Something else that it does is it really, if you're a startup in Latin America, you know, traditionally, reaching the end of the rainbow was getting to Silicon Valley. We want to change that. We want reaching the end of the rainbow to be, it's everything else for them, it's Miami. Why shouldn't it be Miami as well? So all these issues in Latin America actually serve as a catalyst. No different than Doral is now full of Venezuelans, and no different than Miami is full of us Cubans and, you know, Central Americans and Brazilians, you know, et cetera. It's the same thing, right? Why shouldn't the startup dream of coming to a place that feels where it's very friendly for them, where it's multicultural, where they're not going to a place where they're going to be prejudiced? So I think that entire turmoil that has been, will continue to be, actually plays very much to the strength of Miami in everything else except technology. Except now, right?
Manny Medina, the force behind the Emerge Americas Technology Conference underway on Miami Beach. Join the conversation on Twitter at WLRN. Use the hashtag Sunshine Economy. Still to come, the effort of South Florida to forge its own tech identity.
Certainly what we're doing here in Miami is certainly not to replicate Silicon Valley. That's a really sort of unique thing.
This is the Sunshine Economy, the future emerging, the technology industry in South Florida. Miami and South Florida are far from alone in the efforts to keep, attract, and grow the tech industry. Kansas City, Denver, Cincinnati, the list goes on and on of all these cities and regions in the U.S. hoping to build up their tech cred. All this effort in all these places begs a question.
Why does a city want to be the next Silicon Valley? What do they get from it?
That's Derek Thompson with The Atlantic. Thompson writes about cities trying to build up their tech industries.
That if you become the next Silicon Valley, you get the smartest people build companies, and you get great jobs from those companies, and so it's great for the city.
All right, that's what's at stake initially, at least. We spoke with Thompson of The Atlantic, along with Kevin Levy, an attorney with law firm Gunster, working with tech firms, and Miami director of the Knight Foundation, Matt Hagman, who has concentrated on nurturing entrepreneurs, especially technology startup efforts.
Derek Thompson, senior editor at The Atlantic.
Matt Hagman, Miami Program Director at Knight Foundation.
Kevin Levy, a shareholder attorney with Gunster Yokely in Miami.
This is an emerging startup and entrepreneurial community in Miami, but you know, our take is that it holds enormous promise. Successful cities are built on the ability to attract and retain talent, and we saw this as sort of leveraging a core strength with an enormous upside as a way to build community. So number one, Miami just sort of, it is, if you look at Kauffman Foundation's Index of Entrepreneurial Activity, every year it's consistently in the top three in terms of one of the most entrepreneurial metropolitan areas in the country. A year ago, it ranked number one in the country. Right. In addition, of course, highly international, diversity, a key component in any strong entrepreneurial environment. There's significant wealth here, which is obviously sort of a raw material that's required in any strong startup environment. Meanwhile, we've seen sort of three really important changes here in the city.
What are those?
It's urbanizing, right? We've seen more than 80% population growth in the downtown core. As there seems to be a real relationship between strong entrepreneurial environments and strong urban density. The growth of the creative community, the art and cultural life, strong relationship between strong entrepreneurial communities and creative communities. And then lastly, you know, Miami's a place that a little more than 40 years ago didn't even have a public research university. Today, it actually ranks 7th per capita in number of college students in a metropolitan area. Now, is Miami the Bay Area or Boston? Of course not. But is Miami developing an interesting critical mass to begin to sort of to build and leverage? Yes.
Derek Thompson with The Atlantic, you are looking at a number of communities across the United States that want to leverage technology because of the high-paying jobs that they can bring. Your assessment of Miami's place in entrepreneurialism generally and technology specifically?
So the first thing I would say about America's emerging Silicon Valleys is that I think it's important to recognize that they face an uphill climb. What we see right now in tech investment, not necessarily at entrepreneurship per capita like Kaufman measures, but at VC investment, we see an accumulating effect, an agglomeration effect, that more and more of this investment is happening in the same old expected cities you would think of, the Silicon Valley area, the New York area, the Boston area. And so a huge challenge for these cities, like Miami, like Kansas City, like New Orleans, these cities that say, you know, we want to be the next Silicon Valley, we want to be the Silicon Valley of the Midwest, of the South, of the Great Lakes region, is that you have VCs looking to the same old places when they're looking to make new investments. Mm. And from the perspective of talent and talent acquisition, you have the same sort of 5 to 10 cities, your New York's, Seattle, San Francisco, Chicago, Boston, New York. You have the same handful of cities on the at the top of people's lists when they're graduating from America's top universities, your Ivy Leagues, Northwestern's, and California elite schools. And so the battle here is getting, one, top of mind for young people who are just graduating from school and convincing them to move to your city as opposed to the obvious candidates on the coast. And then, two, having enough people to create a kind of tent pole, to create a kind of signal for VCs to say, come here, this is where the great talent is growing, this is where the great next ideas are going to come from.
Let me address the issue of investment. It takes a lot of dollars to get this kind of industry up and rolling and sustainable. Kevin Levy with Gunster, you're with the technology practice there. You're seeing the deal flow. You're seeing the capital raising happen. Is there a positive cycle that you're sensing and that you're seeing develop, or is it outside money still difficult to come into South Florida for technologists?
You know, in the almost 20 years I've been practicing in the area of transactions and specifically the technology industry, I've really seen a galvanization of the community in South Florida, what Matt was talking about earlier, and I really think that's played a role in seeing an uptick in deals. And while it's been kind of choppy over the last few years, it's been so in a lot of areas of the country with the recession, but it's been a very, very strong start to the first third of the year in South Florida.
And are those Florida deals getting done with Florida money?
Actually, it's money both coming from Florida as well as money coming from outside Florida. So several deals I'm working on, the money's not even just coming from within the U.S. and typical quote-unquote Silicon Valley venture funds. One's money from Belgium, one's money from Texas, some of the money is from here locally. There's no question there's not as much money, there's not as much venture capitalists right now in South Florida, but we've seen several success stories where people have said, I'm staying here. And the money has come here because the venture capitalists are realizing there is talent in other places in the country where you can really make a dent and really make a difference. Following up with what Matt said, FIU has the third largest computer science program in the whole country. And what we're really working on together is working with the business community, the technology companies, working with the educational institutions, saying, let's come together and keep these kids, for lack of a better word, here.
Yeah, Matt, it's interesting. If it's not going to be imported into South Florida, it's got to grow its own.
It's got to grow its own. I think it's, you know, obviously talent and funding are the two things that, you know, we talk a lot about here. One point is that certainly what we're doing here in Miami is certainly not to replicate Silicon Valley. That's a really sort of unique thing.
Kevin, you're nodding your head.
Oh, I completely agree.
Yeah.
The name Silicon Beach just drives me nuts because while you do make silicon from sand, that's absolutely not what Miami is all about.
I mean, what we are seeing around the world is the cost to create and do continue to plummet, right? And so more and more people can build ideas. That's a global trend that we're trying to leverage here in Miami. And furthermore, sort of in talking about Miami and sort of the talent and funding question, I really think you have to widen the map. I mean, when we think about Miami, it is so highly international. I mean, we're over half of the over 60% of the adult population is foreign born. So in terms of where we sort of talk about what is homegrown, well, homegrown is Bogota, is Buenos Aires. Increasingly, we're seeing Mexico City. And also, in our work, we're seeing Stockholm, Madrid, and even Zurich have come to pass just in the last 18 months.
Derek Thompson with The Atlantic Magazine, you have written extensively about the next Silicon Valley being Silicon Valley. It'll always be Silicon Valley. Assess the efforts and the hurdles that cities like Miami, areas like South Florida have to grow their own technology industries as opposed to trying to replicate what took the better part of two generations in the Bay Area to grow.
What I would say is you look sort of short-term and long-term. And the short-term challenge for any place that isn't Boston, San Jose, New York is that you have this clustering effect. And the more talent that you accumulate there, the more magnifying the draw for other talent or VC to go there. It's called agglomeration. That as you build up a reputation for and a foundation of talent and money, you entrench your advantage. That being said, I think that where cities like Portland and New Orleans, Miami can look forward to is look to Las Vegas. And rarely is it said commercially, look to Las Vegas. But here, what's interesting about Las Vegas is that it took one company, Zappos.
Zappos, right, the shoe online shoe retailer.
Right, that was bought by Amazon. It started in Las Vegas. It became huge. And now the CEO has embarked on this really ambitious $300 million project to rebuild downtown Las Vegas to turn it into a haven for young entrepreneurs. So what's interesting about this is two things. One, it takes a sort of a tentpole talent to say, I am planting my tentpole here. Las Vegas will be known as a place where Zappos exists, where people want to work with Zappos exists, and a network sort of forms from that. You've seen this effect happen in Seattle with Amazon mm-hmm. and Microsoft. Sometimes it only takes one company. The other thing is that a disadvantage for San Francisco, Boston, New York is that they're tremendously expensive to live in. It's really impossible for someone who's only making $20,000, $30,000 a year to think about moving out there without significant subsidies and make a go. And so other cities might have an advantage to attract the somewhat cheaper talent that might have a similar upside, partly by saying, we have sun, we have travel, we have the arts, and you don't have to spend $2,000 a month on an apartment.
Yeah, I'm not sure that last point, though, you're going to be able to get through in South Florida, especially not in Miami and the urban core. Kevin, the idea of having a tent pole, a big company come in and say, we're going to do this. South Florida does not have a lot of large employers. South Florida's economic diversity goes to the size of the employer base. Lots of small and middle-sized companies. It makes it that much more difficult to get scalability to kind of build this technology industry from within.
Yeah, short term, I think it does make it more difficult. We don't have a quote-unquote Zappos here. But what we do have is a long history of technology in South Florida. You had IBM invent the PC here. You had Citrix essentially invent cloud computing here.
Yeah, Fort Lauderdale.
Yes, you've had TerraMark really take data centers to the next level here. And what you're seeing is an increase in the pace. And what Miami needs to do, as Matt mentioned earlier, is focus on what it does well. A lot of small companies becoming middle-sized companies. A lot of middle-sized companies becoming bigger companies. And we're just seeing that spiral happening quicker and quicker here.
Matt Hagman, go ahead.
Just to follow up and certainly agree with Derek, I mean, this success is going to be built on the role models and sort of examples of success. And certainly that's the aim, right? I don't think that's going to come from, though, likely won't come from bringing companies here, but I think it's going to our bet that certainly we're working on at Knight Foundation is that if we can create this sort of network and sort of the supports and the platforms to connect and build ideas, that we can then, when we have those successes, then those successes turn into sort of beget more successes. Those entrepreneurs who do well turn into the future funders and mentors of other entrepreneurs.
Kevin, 14 years ago, 2000, dot-com bust, Miami went the way with a number of communities in terms of its technology industry. The ground shook and a lot of things sank because of it. Has Miami, has the South Florida technology industry gotten enough momentum to break out, to create its virtuous cycle of an industry. The kind of investments that Matt has talked about, the kind of talent demand that Derek has talked about, the deal flow that you're seeing at Gunster on the merger and acquisition side, on the investment side, is there the virtuous cycle yet?
Yes, and let me give you some examples of why I think that's absolutely happening at a faster and faster pace. 14 years ago, or even longer ago than that, and even more recent, VCs would come to town, angels would be here. We have lots of people with second and third homes, so a lot of angel investors. They'd ask to be introduced to people, and they would take a pass on deals that came before them.
They wouldn't take the meeting at all.
Yeah, well, or they wouldn't take the meeting at all.
Yeah.
The idea might have been great, but they looked around at, you know, who was the talent? Because what I've seen on deals, whether it's an initial investment or it's a merger and acquisition, people invest not just in the great idea, but is this a great management team that has shown success? And it used to be they just didn't see that here. It's happening quicker. It's happening more often. The deals I'm seeing, VCs are now searching out, coming to us instead of us going to them saying, who do you have? And when we make introductions, they're getting more impressed.
Let me ask you this question, Kevin. Is there a Miami discount on the valuation of those deals? Because it's not in Silicon Valley. It's not in Boston.
Oh, absolutely.
It's not in Austin.
Yeah. Absolutely. There's no question.
So companies aren't being able to get as much or raise as much if they were perhaps in a different location.
Possibly. Maybe not raise as much. Maybe not get as good a deal. But at the same time, you have to think of the cost benefit of that. They're getting to stay here. They're getting to stay in a place that they believe in. And if you're an entrepreneur, belief is what it's all about. You believe in your concept. You believe in your ability to turn that into a major success. And to be able to stay here where you're comfortable, where everything makes sense, I think there's a real benefit to that that you have to put into that equation. Plus, you're the big dog. You can attract the best talent in town. You're not competing with everybody else in Silicon Valley.
This is going to be a long road. And so to think that just sort of overnight that we're going to see success, I think is mistaken. I think that the feeling is as though is that fundamentally Miami is shifting as a city, and that sort of the fundamentals to be a place where we're seeing sort of interesting ideas hatched and really grown, we think that's a real possibility. And just not a possibility, we're actually seeing it now, but to see more and more of it we think is likely. I do think there's something to the we're seeing a bit in the allure of Miami is that the idea of you can sort of be part of a startup in a startup city in a way, and the idea of not only sort of building your own venture but be part of building this broader community.
Matt Hagman with the Knight Foundation, Kevin Levy, an attorney with law firm Gunster, and Derek Thompson from The Atlantic, all on what it means for a community like Miami to grow its tech business. Still to come on our program, two local startups find their exits and millions of dollars in returns.
Every time we said we were located in Miami, there was sort of a numb look.
This is the Sunshine Economy, the future emerging, the technology industry in South Florida. I'm Tom Hudson. Thanks for listening. Money is the fuel for any startup, and for entrepreneurs following an idea, following the money, it's a very strong lure. Brian Brackeen and Mark Slaughter have done just that. Mark Slaughter started his company Cohelo in Miami and Boca Raton. Cohelo is kind of a zip car for medical equipment. Headquarters, though, moved to Boston this year, where Cohelo's big investors are located. Brackeen, his identification software company Kairos, has been successful in raising $1.7 million, most of it from Florida investors.
It takes longer, certainly. I think that our fundraise would have taken 2 to 3 months. Somewhere else, it took around 7 here in South Florida. But there is something to be said for local investors, folks like the New World Angels, that who are a local investor angel group that really believe in you and your neighbors and friends.
Mark, was it tough to leave Boca Raton when you founded Cohelo?
Yeah, there was a handful of kind of different driving forces that really made us take a hard look at where we wanted to be geographically. And we, you know, Boston just made the most sense for us at this point in our life cycle.
What led you to select Boston? Was it just following the money? Was there something in terms of operating the company that Boston and the Northeast provided that you couldn't find in Boca?
Building a high growth company from scratch is really hard. And there's a lot of things you can't control the outcome of, but there are a lot of things that you can do to position yourself for optionality and the highest statistical chance for success. So our leadership team said to each other, if there are things we can control and improve our odds on, let's do it. So we looked at kind of quantity and proximity. And for capital, for talent, for industry influencers and healthcare, Those are really the main criteria points for us. So we created a scale where we examined a lot of different options from Miami to Boston, New York, San Fran, Austin, Nashville. And each one definitely has its pros and cons. And in the end, Boston just made the most sense for us. Part of it was capital and part of it was the talent. And I think both don't have to do with necessarily with quality, but more quantity and density.
Brian, have you felt that the supply for talent to fuel the kind of growth that you need and are looking for and your investors are desirous of at Kairos has been limited in South Florida by staying in Miami-Dade County?
It's interesting. We had the same exercise, and we've used absolutely the same criteria. However, the DNA of Kairos may be a little different. So we were pretty focused on Miami from the start and then made some decisions around how we would kind of create our DNA in which we could be successful in that regard. Where we came down was the cost of – we could raise money here. We were raising less money than they were. But the cost of staying is actually much cheaper. So our rent – is much cheaper than it would be in Boston or San Francisco.
Is there an opportunity cost, though, for you in Kairos by staying in Miami?
Is there an opportunity cost? Give me...
Are you missing out on business opportunities? As Mark mentioned, you got closer, Mark, to influencers in the health technology space by moving to the Northeast. Brian, by not being in Silicon Valley, a hotbed of software development, are you missing out on business opportunities?
Interesting. So, yeah, we don't see that. In fact, one of our challenges is that we have too much business in our pipeline for our size. Yeah.
What I'm curious about, Brian, is does your geography, does the location in Miami have any correlation to your inability to grow fast enough to be able to swallow up all that business that you're seeing?
I wonder if we would grow faster if we weren't. We always do get the question at some point, hey, so why did you guys choose Miami? And then we, of course, explain all that's going on here.
As you've made your conscious decision to stay in Miami, is that a decision that you evaluate regularly? Is that a decision that your investors evaluate regularly?
You know, I'm really strongly committed to Miami, and as we grow more and more employees, it's kind of, we have to stay. No, not because we don't want to, but it's just for their quality of their lives and their families, it just makes sense. But we really believe that the quality of life in Miami is really, really high, and we have no hard time convincing people from places like London or New York to move down here as well, and so that also really helps.
I'm wondering, both of you, the message to the broader community of technologists and entrepreneurs in South Florida who have been working so hard for so long to try to get the technology industry some respect, number one, not only internally but also externally, but number two, to be able to get it into a virtuous cycle of growth.
First off, it holds a very dear place in my heart because it played such a critical role in helping my team and I get off the ground. You know, we were members of the launch pad at the University of Miami when we first started, and they helped us take the idea from napkin to a formal strategy. Groups like that and have done a fantastic job of challenging not just Cohealo, but I know a lot of the other companies that are just getting onto their legs to get better each and every day.
Yeah, I think actually with both of our companies, we're probably both really focused on creating billion-dollar businesses, really impactful billion-dollar businesses. We only need a couple of really home runs to ignite this really firestorm of growth, economic growth, and prosperity for the entire area. We want to be one of those, you know, matchsticks, so to speak.
Looking for those matchsticks, looking for those home runs, for exits. That's corporate speak for when an entrepreneur sells his or her company, allowing them this title.
Former CEO .co .co Internet SAS.
I was the founder and CEO of New Wave Surgical.
Speaking in the past tense, Juan Diego Calle, who co-founded .co in Miami, Alex Gomez, who started New Wave Surgical and built it up in Pompano Beach. In the past month, each has sold their companies for nine figures, over $100 million. What role did South Florida play, Alex, in founding of New Wave Surgical and growing it?
I founded it when I was in medical school in New York, but once we started the company, we realized that in order to expand, there was a lot of issues in New York. And I really, you know, certainly I had lived down here and I knew that it was the right place in terms of, you know, accessibility to airports, cost of living, and access to workers. So we made a decision pretty quickly once we saw that the growth was starting that we should come down to Florida to take advantage of all the benefits.
What were those benefits?
Well, one certainly was cost of living.
Less cost of living than
less
New York.
Much less. And especially when you're a startup, you really have to keep that under wraps because a lot of people are working for equity.
Juan, how about for you for .co? What was it that South Florida allowed .co to do that perhaps other locations would not have allowed it?
Definitely proximity to Latin America and specifically to Colombia. We were born out of Colombia. Was a huge part in establishing the company in Miami. The fact that we were a global company and we needed people that spoke multiple languages, obviously Spanish, English, but we also had people that spoke French, German, and being in Miami just helped in terms of finding talent at a reasonable cost that had that skill set.
Alex, do you ever think it could have been something different if it were not in South Florida? In other words, if you had stayed in the Northeast?
There's no question. We sit around, and we just had a closing dinner, actually, with all the board members, and because there was obviously a lot of debate about moving down. Most of my investors were in the Northeast, and certainly they wanted the business closer to them. So we were just sitting around, and we were talking about it, and we feel very strongly that we would not have succeeded at all, because manufacturing became such a critical component for us to bring our cost of goods down.
But do you know how odd that sounds? It was manufacturing in South Florida.
Yeah.
That phrase is not uttered very often, Alex.
It isn't. I mean, and if it was just solely manufacturing, then yes, you could say, well, you could have gone to Indiana or some. But we were completely vertically integrated. We designed the products, we engineered them, we manufactured, and we sold them. So you need to find a balance. And I think that's what South Florida gave you.
Juan, you ever ask yourself what could have been if you went to the Valley out in the West Coast?
Yeah, we do. We did ask ourselves that question quite a bit. And in the process of growing the company, when we started growing pretty quickly, we had moments in which we were thinking, well, maybe it might be better to run this out of Silicon Valley or New York, maybe. But really, at the end of the day, and now that we can say it in hindsight, there is absolutely nothing that Silicon Valley or New York or London would have offered us that we didn't find in Miami.
Did it ever come up at the closing table? Did it ever come up in the negotiations with your buyer, with Neustar, Miami, South Florida as a location?
Well, it's interesting because it wasn't just at the closing. It was on a daily basis. As I mentioned, we had customers all over the world, deals that we were striking all over the world, and a lot of them would ask, where are you based? And every time we said we were located in Miami, there was sort of a numb look, like wondering, why are you in Miami? I guess they relate Miami with nice beaches and South Beach.
Proponents of growing the technological industry here in South Florida will point to exit strategies. You need more exit strategies of companies that are locally based in order to provide that virtuous circle, not only of talent, but also of capital. Right. So it begs the question, Alex, exit strategy of $100 million plus, what's next for Alex Gomez?
Well, we actually, just this morning, we put the group together, the guys, you know, a lot of the large investors, which were involved in management, our VP of sales and marketing, the guys that really the core group. We realized that there's a lot of smaller companies like we were a couple of years ago that may have a good product, but have difficulty understanding how to get it sold, how to grow the manufacturing, how to really make it into a product that's worldwide. And so we want to put our capital, but also help with some knowledge. And so we're going to start a fund where we're going to put a lot of our money, but also have the capacity to really help and bring a lot of companies down here. I mean, I'm not going anywhere. So anything that we do in terms of new medical device companies or even acquiring medical device companies, we're going to relocate them here to South Florida.
Yeah, in our case, we've decided to first take a step back from the day-to-day.
I should point out that Juan has had probably about 5 days' worth of growth on his chin, and Alex looks like you probably did shave this morning because of your meeting with your partners. Yeah,
and I should say that it's not just for the purpose of going on vacation and resting. It's really because, you know, when you sell a company, there's this tendency to forget how difficult it was to build it.
That's a good point.
Sort of, you kind of get lost in the success of it all.
Literally, I was 13 years ago working, passing instruments in Broward General as a tech. And then 3 years ago, we had, you know, 8 employees, or and then we ended with 150. I think anyone that has an idea, that's starting a company, that's down here and is saying, no, I have to be somewhere else, you know, you can go from idea to a hugely successful company right here in South Florida, and you have all the I mean, literally all the resources that you would need in order to make it happen, because it happened.
Alex Gomez, formerly of New Wave Surgical, Juan Diego Calle, formerly of .co. Still to come, the fun and games of inventing a tech job.
I grew up and I play so many games. I think I've probably played 1,000 games in my lifetime.
This is the Sunshine Economy. I'm Tom Hudson. Miami is a magnet for entrepreneurs in fashion, film, and the visual arts. These are disciplines the technology sector wants to tap into. There's a small but growing video gaming industry developing at the intersection of these professions. Players in the South Florida video game industry include Darkside Studios in Sunrise, Magic Leap in Hollywood, Shiver Entertainment just leased space in South Miami, and Skyjoy Interactive on Brickell Avenue. Last month, Skyjoy released its first video game.
In a world where evil runs rampant, only one furball can save the day. Super Kid Cannon will travel beyond the reach.
The opportunity here is enormous. The global market for video games is expected to grow to $82 billion in the next 3 years. Nationally, the sector has created thousands of jobs for designers, programmers, and artists. The Miami Herald's Karen Runlett met up with one of the local designers behind Super Kid Cannon to talk work and play.
Getting to Skyjoy Interactive's offices today was not unlike the challenge Super Kid Cannon faces as he tries to move to the next level. Miami's Brickell Avenue is full of construction delays and impatient lunch hour drivers. But eventually, the elevator climbs to the 10th floor and you enter Skyjoy's offices to find a lavender-lit aquarium. Feng shui, I'm told. With all the dust and cranes outside, it's a jungle out there. In here, Skyjoy's 11 employees are staring silently into computer screens, lost in animations of Super Kid Cannon. Isai Oviedo says hello.
What's your title?
My title is level designer.
What does that mean?
My job is to make the game fun, a new experience from each level to level.
Oviedo's background is in graphic design. As high-tech as the final product looks, it's surprising to learn his art started with pencil and paper.
Just done on graph paper and draw out all the elements of how the level's going to play out.
That's right. He sketches each level of the game first. His designs on paper are taped to the wall next to his computer.
Some things that look good on paper literally don't work. But for the most part, those drawings that we do on those scrolls, really, really helpful.
And after the sketches?
And then I lay down the cannons. After that comes the enemies.
The premise
and
is lastly, this. There's a red panda named Super Kid Cannon who wants to rescue his girlfriend, Justine, from Khan. You tap the cannons with your finger to launch the shooting.
I'm not a gamer.
Okay, it's pretty simple.
Oviedo was hired for his eye, his design skills, and a love of old school gaming.
A lot of times it comes down to mostly playing a lot of video games from experience. You know, I grew up and I play so many games. I think I've probably played 1,000 games in my lifetime.
How old are you?
22. I'm in that kind of age where nowadays everybody that grows up, I think after around 1990, they've all kind of grown up playing video games. So in every job, you need to have research in some way.
Oviedo and CEO Abudi Taher love games from the 90s, like Mario Brothers 3. It is inspiration for the look and feel of Super Kid Cannon.
I tried to sneak my own name into the game, and so it's ISAI. So it looked pretty cool, and if somebody was playing, they wouldn't notice, but I would. But, like, actually, when you started playing it, you're like, it's, like, overly complicated.
Oviedo is a Miami native. He grew up a stone's throw from Skyjoy's offices in Little Havana. He was thrilled when he landed this gig. Full-time work with benefits? South Florida's video gaming sector is still small right now. Small enough that the bosses at different firms work together to find ways to grow and keep the talent pool. They don't want to lose South Florida designers, engineers, and programmers to larger gaming hubs like Seattle or Silicon Valley. Skyjoy's CEO says there's a good amount of solid entry-level talent coming out of universities. He's hired from FIU before. But the more senior-level folks leave after they outgrow the opportunities here. So far, level designer Isai Oviedo is staying put.
What do your friends think about your job?
They're actually really, really happy about it. A lot of people are envious in a way. A lot of my friends are just finishing up their last year of college right now.
Did you go to college?
I did not go to college. I would like to in the future, possibly for art and animation.
Oviedo graduated from Design Architecture Senior High, a magnet school in Miami's design district. After some odd jobs, he scored the level designer position.
I have a lot of friends who right now are graduating this year, and they still don't know what they want to do. In this case, for me, I can try out this industry, and I can try out, you know, so many other things artistically and really be sure of what I want to do before I go down that road.
In the meantime, Oviedo has reached a new level in his profession, experienced video game designer. Reporting from the Sunshine Economy, I'm Karen Rundlett.
SkyJoy was founded in 2012 by three partners, two of whom have left. Super Kid Cannon has been downloaded more than 100,000 times so far. It's available as a free app. Still to come, the branding of a regional industry. What's in a name?
So all these communities that talk about they're the next Silicon Valley, it's not really true to who they are. They're going to get lost. I don't know that we really know who we are yet.
This is the Sunshine Economy, the future emerging, the technology industry in South Florida. I'm Tom Hudson. All this talk about the technology industry is serious stuff. But as we learned last year when we reported on it, there are strong feelings within the tech community about its moniker, especially what not to call the burgeoning business here. Do not call it Silicon Beach.
I really don't think anything that has the word silicon in it would be good. First of all, because it's too close to silicone.
And we have a history of silicone here in South Florida. Armando was just one of our Public Insight Network contributors offering up their opinion for a nickname.
Analog Alley.
Tropical Tech.
South Florida Tech Trail.
Pixel Paradise.
Micro Beaches.
Sun Tech. SunTech.
The Convergence Coast.
Orange Technology.
Tech Beach.
The simplicity of Tech Beach. Tweet us your idea for the nickname of the technology industry in South Florida at WLRN. Use the hashtag Sunshine Economy. Deborah tweeted SoFlo Tech. Rab Safari sent us this tweet. How about Tropical Tech? And Biscayne Tales tweeted perhaps the best historical name for a 21st century industry, Tuttle Tech. No matter what it will be called, the community focus and the economic potential is not child's play for South Florida. I'm Tom Hudson. This is the Sunshine Economy. Thanks for listening.